morning. Okay. The reading today is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 to 39, which starts on page 261 in the Pew Bibles. These are the names of David's mighty warriors: Josheb, Bashabeth, and Tahkemonite was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Damon for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam. While a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim, at that time David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, Lord, to do this," he said. "It is not the blood of men who went..." Can you hear me? Sorry. "At the risk of their lives, and David would not drink it." Such were the exploits of the three mighty warriors. Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. Was he not held in greater honour than the three? He became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mighty warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honour than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. So, among the 30 was Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, son of Dodah from Bethlehem, Shammah, the Haradite, Elikah, the Haradite, Helez, the Paltite, Ira, son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anathoth, Sipachai, the Hushathite, Zalman, the Ahohite, Mahariah, the Netophathite, Heled, son of Banah, the Netophathite, Ithar, son of Rabbi, from Gibeah in Benjamin, Benaiah, the Parathonite, Hiddai, from the ravens of Gash, Abi-Alban, the Abathite, Asmatheth, the Bahumite, Eliabah, the Shalabonite, the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, son of Shammah, the Hararite, Ahiam, son of Sharah, the Hararite, Eliphet, son of Ahasbah, the Malachathite, Eliam, son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Parai, the Arbite, Igal, son of Nathan from Zobah, the son of Hagri, Zelek, the Ammonite, Nahari, the Berathite, the armor bearer of Joab, son of Zariah, Ira, the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, and Uriah the Hittite. There were 37 in all. Oops, sorry.
Well done, Kathy. A more difficult reading in terms of pronunciation could hardly be found, I think, in Scripture. But Kathy conquered it. And so thank you, Kathy, for reading that so well. I'm going to pray with you and look at the Scripture together. Lord, when rain comes down on the earth, it brings life, and so when your word comes to us, it brings life. And so I'm asking, Father in heaven, would you bring life to us? May your word come to us with light and life this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to move forward because I don't like to be too far away from you. I like to be near you. The whole theme of good versus evil runs very deep into our culture and runs very deep into even our human soul. It runs so deep, in fact, that if you watch a children's cartoon, you will find these terrible characters wanting to kill and crush, and then some great character will arise with great strength and save the day, and the good ones win, and it's such a relief. But also characters like Spider-Man and Superman and Batman are all coming to oppose that which is evil, and for good to prevail. And today in 2 Samuel 23, what we've got is an account of David's mighty men who were David's crack troops in establishing the kingdom of God, that which is true and just and right. David himself was a great warrior. I'm sure you remember, even as a little boy, Goliath stood against him. And even though he was little, he killed Goliath, and the battle against the enemies was won. Am I? I need to use that, do I? Maybe I'm not turned on. Am I turned on here? Got a green light? Okay. All right. We're going to. Do you want me to test? Oh, good. I didn't know that you couldn't hear me. Okay. So David himself was a warrior of great power, and he, as a man, a little boy conquered Goliath, but as a man led these armies into battle. And maybe you say, well, I hate all this killing and we shouldn't glorify war. And I really think that David himself might say something like that, and I'll tell you why. Because God wouldn't even let him build a temple because he said, no, you're a man of blood. It'll be your son that builds the temple. And so there wasn't a kind of a glorifying of war from God's perspective. And even in the verses, I asked Kathy to read that whole difficult passage. There was an easel passage beforehand that she didn't read, but it's David's last words. And in his last words, when he's talking about, and he's looking back, he's now the king, and he's looking back on his life, well established, and he thinks of all that's been accomplished, do you know what he says? This is what he says. He says, the one who rules, he's talking, this is very last words of his life, the one who rules over people in righteousness when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of the coming sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. So I tell you what that tells me. That when he looks back over his life, the thing that gives him joy is that now there's a kingdom of justice that rules in the fear of God and he's brought peace and life. I wonder if you've ever lived in a country or visited a country where justice doesn't prevail. I was talking to a Myanmar brother this week and he told me stories of the military junta coming and coming to the villages and the people running and how the right now, as we speak, the refugee camps on the border of Thailand and Burma are filled. What is going on in countries where there's no justice? The people in power are all about themselves and the little people get crushed. And if you want to know what's going on here, God is sending someone who is a king, and there is going to be opposition to a kingdom of light and of hope and of justice, and he is to fight for peace and for truth. In the movies and in the TV programs, we have made up stories many times about good triumphing over evil. But here, right here this morning, we've got a true account of God bringing a king with great strength and power. And he's not alone. He's got these mighty warriors, these list of warriors. There's two kind of lists here. There's the three, I don't know whether you heard it when Kathy was reading, you got the three, but you got the 30. And it's like that these three and these 30 stand out amongst the rest. These are the list of ones that stood out amongst all the warriors of Israel. They were brave, they were courageous, they were skilled, they were powerful, they did not run away. And I'm still not working, James. Oh, right. Because of the live stream. Yeah, okay. Poor live stream. Yeah, sometimes the live stream can't hear through except through a certain means. All right. I'm going to get rid of all my other paraphernalia. You might have heard the name of David, for example. Well, you have. Mothers wanted their sons to be great, probably. And they named their son, their children David. And but you would not have heard of the name of David, King David, except that these names were the strength behind him. These were his mighty warriors. What is said about these three? I'm just going to think about the three for now. Well, they're described as mighty warriors, but maybe their strength is not even the main thing. Because David wasn't very strong when he went after Goliath. David was just a weak man who was having every kind of trouble. Yeah. Do you think I should continue or what do you think, James? I'm up and down. No one knows. I just want the live stream to hear. I want you to hear. Should I continue? Yeah, okay. I'll just continue. So maybe it wasn't mostly about their strength. Maybe It was about their courage. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that it's about their courage. Is because in verse 10, it said, then the Israelites retreated, but Elijah stood his ground. This is not easy for you, is it? I'm okay, but I'm worried about you. Yeah, will I keep going as though everything's going fine? Okay. I think that courage is right at the centre here, and because the Israelites, they just ran away. Many of them ran away, but some of them stood their ground. And, for example, Eleazar, son of Dodai, oh, wow, this is almost unable to continue. No one knows what's going wrong. Am I just going to continue, brother? Use Jeff's, this mic.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I got happy. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Can I unplug this one? So I'll tell you the point that I'm desperately trying to make. The point that I'm desperately trying to make is that I don't think it's actually mostly about their mightiness, but about their bravery. And I think it's here in the text because it says the other Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines. Or in the next verse, in verse 11, it says Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. So everyone else is running, but they are standing. These three were exceptional in their courage. I'm letting you in on a secret prayer of my heart in my life, just in the last, 6 or 9 months. And this is what I've been praying. Often I've got many prayers, but I've just and I do have many prayers. But for myself, this is my main prayer for myself. I've been saying, Lord, would you please give me courage? Would you please give me courage? I want courage because that's something that comes from God. And you and I have witnessed on the TV in the last few weeks stabbings in Australia. And we've seen a man running in the Westfield shopping centre with a knife. And don't you wish that if you were in the shopping centre at that time, that you would be someone of courage for the sake of other people? Don't you wish that you would be someone that for the sake of others, you would really have courage? Courage is a beautiful thing if God would give us courage. But not just in a state like that. Sometimes it takes courage to speak. Sometimes it takes courage not to speak. Sometimes it takes courage to go somewhere where you do not want to go. But here, these mighty men had courage in the face of great terribleness and evil. But I want you to notice something, that it says here that the Lord brought about a great victory on that day. So you ask the question, was it their bravery, their courage? Yes. Was it their strength? Yes. Was it their skill? Yes, yes, yes. And yet, it was the Lord. And that's the way the Bible often speaks, is that he loves to use us and somehow, in his purposes, use all that we are, and yet it's him that gets the glory, and it's him that accomplishes the victory. Right at the center of this story, we've got the story of the three, and then underneath we've got a list of the 30. But right in the middle, there's an account that I want to call an account of strong love. This is the account. The Philistines were camped at Bethlehem. You remember Bethlehem is David's hometown. And David is on the run from Saul because he thinks he's going to be killed at any time. And he's in this cave called the Cave of Adullam, about 15 or 20 k's away. And it says there that David longed for water. Here he is in the Cave of Adullam. He longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." I think what he's saying is something like, wouldn't it be magnificent? Here we are in this cave, we're on the run, we're scared, we haven't got much, and I'm thirsty. And can you imagine if I could just drink from that water from Bethlehem's gate where I grew up as a little boy? But he wasn't even thinking for a minute that anyone would go and get him water. But three of these mighty men heard this and they said to each other, "Let's do it. Let's do this crazy thing." And so they broke through the enemy lines. They went all the way to Bethlehem. They broke through the enemy lines. They drew water from the well at Bethlehem's gate and they carried it back. Do you know what? They could have said, when they heard David saying, "Oh, wouldn't it be great to have a drink from the water at Bethlehem?" They could have said something like, "Get over it, David. I mean, we're all thirsty. Suck it up." Or they could have said, "You know, you'll be right, mate. You'll just have to suffer like the rest of us." But that wasn't what they said. What they said was, "We're going to go and get this water." And they could have got water anywhere, presumably, much more easily than to go down to the gates of Bethlehem. But that's what they did. And they lay down their life, put their life at great risk to go and get this water for their commander in chief. And so I want to say to you, to me, that looks like they've got great love for David, for their commander. And they saying, "We love to honor you. We love your word is our command. We just love you. And this is a way that we bring honor to you." And David's response is, he refused to drink it. He didn't want to drink it. Can you imagine that? You've gone all the way to Bethlehem, and you've broken through enemy lines, and you've dipped your water down, and you got your water, and you bring it all the way, carry it all the way back, and say, "David, I've got this water for you." And David refuses to drink it. And this is what he said. He pours it out before the Lord, and he says, "Far be it from me, Lord, to do this. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. It's like David was saying, "I'm not going to treat my men's lives and even their love as though it's just a consumable." I mean, he could have said, "Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, that's good." But that's not his attitude at all. He's saying that, like, holding this water is like holding the blood of these men. They've just loved me so much. And I'm going to pour out this loyalty and this devotion. It's kind of so precious that I would give it to the Lord as a worship of God. In fact, I'm going to give their love and devotion to the one to whom it belongs, to God. That's what David does. And the point that I want us to
behold and to see is that right at the heart of the kingship, right at the heart of this kingdom, is a strong love. It's a deep love. It's not just raw authority, and it's not just raw power. It's love and loyalty there. We are drawing, as you know, to the end of our series through 1 and 2 Samuel. And all the way through this series, we've been saying that Jesus is the true and better David, like Timothy Keller used to say. And this morning, what I want to say to you is Jesus is the ultimate warrior, the ultimate mighty warrior. Do you remember the very first thing, the very first thing that Jesus did after his baptism? He went out into the wilderness and went face to face with the devil. Very first thing he did. Why? Because he's come as a warrior. All his ministry is healing, teaching of light and truth, casting out demons. What is he doing? I'm coming as the king, and he says in John 12, now the prince of this world is cast out. I'm coming as the ultimate warrior. And listen to, how often does a warrior come riding on a donkey with no spear and no sword? He's a different kind of warrior. What sort of king has a cross, has thorns for a crown or a cross for a throne? And that's because this warrior came to fall in battle, to accomplish the greatest victory that could ever be imaginable, far greater than anything David ever accomplished. And now he is raised, even now, he is raised with such power and authority that is unimaginable. Listen to what it says in Revelation 19:11. Listen with me. Then I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus comes as the ultimate mighty warrior, the ultimate king over all mighty warriors. So I now just want to think with you for a minute about how this comes down and applies to us and applies to each you and me. I woke up this morning and the first thought, nearly I think, that was on my mind was there was someone else that thirsted. Jesus on the cross said, I'm thirsty. For David, he said, I'm thirsty, and these mighty warriors broke through the enemy lines and got water. But it's Jesus who thirsted for us And you know what? He's breaking through the enemy lines to get us water that we would never, ever die. It's a water of eternal life. It's living water. It's Jesus on the cross is breaking through enemy lines so that you will drink of the wells of salvation. Have you drunk? Have you ever drunk from the wells of salvation? Because it's the well of salvation that gives us life, and it is what God is offering to us in Christ. Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast and he said, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and I will give them the water of life." The other thing I want to say is that our Jesus, too, the ultimate mighty warrior, is drawing himself to himself an army. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even today, an army. In the cave of Adullam, I don't know whether you've read it, but I looked it up, and it says that that David was in distress. He was in distress himself, and men came to him there in this cave of Adullam, and they were people, this is how they're described, those in distress and in debt and bitter in soul. They came to the cave of Adullam, and they became these army that God used for a great purpose. And God is calling you in Christ to be part of this army. Do you know why I don't want to say made Kathy, but I asked Kathy to read this very, very difficult list? Because those names matter. Every name has got a story behind them. And you've got a story behind you. And your name matters. And you are being drawn into the army, not to sit around and do nothing, but to be active for a cause that is way more important than anything that you might read that David did, because now we're serving the ultimate warrior. Yes, we are. And if you think if you think, oh yes, well, David was fighting a real army and we are just doing child's play like a little kids, that is so wrong. It's the opposite. We are the ones that are engaged in. You see the evil of the world? Do you see the brokenness of people's lives? Do you see what's happening? And Christ is enlisting an army. And he's saying, I want you on the list. And this army has at its heart a love, a deep love of Christ to you. It's unbelievably strong love. It's not an army of just raw authority or raw power. No. It's an army where we are loved by and love our King. There's much to be done. And we can't be sitting, I'm preaching above myself, but I'm just telling you, this is really important, and it's not right for us to be sitting around and thinking, no, we need real courage in our day. And we need real sacrifice, and we need real faith, and we're given real spiritual power, and there needs to be real light in our dark world. And so I want to call you, dear brothers and sisters, again, to be on this list. Young people, don't have a little thing, I just want my life to be this big. I want you to think, what can I do for a King that is as great as this? How can I serve him? Maybe you want to become a teacher. Well, be a teacher for God and in his strength and by faith in him. Maybe you want to be a farmer, then be a farmer for God. Or maybe you're going to go to Bible college for the sake of Christ. Or maybe you're going to get an apprenticeship, then do it for the Lord. But all of us need spiritual weapons, and what we're engaged in this world, it's just so easy for us. I'm just preaching to myself, I'm telling you, but it's so easy for us not to wake up and realize the world in which we live in right now, and the greatness of the truth of Christ, and that you are on the list and you're precious to God and you're loved by Him. And there's an urgency in our day to pray and to be people of prayer. So will you with me be glad to be on the list of mighty warriors, men and women? I know an elderly lady. She was courageous. How? She spoke the truth when it was difficult. And it was very, very important. Changed a lot of things because she was a mighty warrior. We all can live for God and not for ourselves. And it's a great joy and it's a great privilege to be on the list of God's mighty warriors, to serve Him and to love Him. So I'm bringing to you this picture that God sets before us here and calling you to something great, but not for your glory, but for God's, because it will be God, it'll be the Lord who brings about the victory. Let me pray. Lord, please teach us from this passage. Please move in us. Fill us with the spirit of power and of love and of light, that we might be people that have weapons in our right hand and our left, weapons of righteousness, to love the people around us, to care. Lord, give us all great courage, I pray, to speak for you and love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.